Father, we thank you that we can come and celebrate this Christmas season. Lord, I pray as we continue to get closer, as time begins to get short, as the lines at stores begin to get longer, and our patience starts to wear thin, Lord, I pray that we would remember you. We would remember the reason for the season, that amongst all the chaos, amongst all the noise, that we would still remember that silent night, oh so long ago. That is really the true meaning of Christmas. Lord, I pray as we open your word, as we continue to unwrap the gifts of Christmas, Lord, that we would see you in all of it, even still today. And we ask these things in your son's name. Amen. If you've been listening to the radio at all over the last 3 or 4 weeks, I'm sure you have heard several Christmas carols by now. Maybe more than you wanted. Maybe some of you love Christmas carols and can listen to them year-round. Maybe some of you are sick of them and we're not even at Christmas yet. But we're going to play a little game, and either you can participate out loud or in your head. But we're going to play a game that's called Name That Christmas Song. I'll give you a lyric, and you see if you can figure out the name. So the first lyric for the first song is this. We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be. Anybody? All right. Next one. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home, I'll be warm.
Maybe it's cold outside.
Let it snow is the correct answer. Number three, decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. Blue Christmas. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. There it is. I'll be home for Christmas. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Oh. Rocking around the Christmas tree. And our last one, in the meadow, we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man, but you can do the job when you're in town. Winter Wonderland. And I'll give you an easy one here for the very final one. And I'll give you a hint. The lyric that I'm going to say is also the name of the song. All I want for Christmas is you. There we go. All right. We all got one. But do you notice the theme? Through all of those, did you notice the theme in the lyrics? That there was an underlying theme of love, right? We're snuggled up, two birds like a feather, talking about being together. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. Decorations of red and green on the Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. The mistletoe, the presents under the tree, the mistletoe where everyone tries to stop, right? There's a theme here of love, right? Which is kind of interesting because usually we think of Valentine's Day when we think of love, right? Valentine's Day happens to be the big holiday for love. But did you know that in a 2014 American wedding study conducted by Brides Magazine, researchers found out this. They found that 19% of all wedding engagements occur in the month of December, making it the most popular month to get engaged. Not February, not Valentine's Day. And can you guess in December what the most popular day is to get engaged? Christmas Eve. Data released by Facebook. So all of you who are on Facebook and you post all of those things, congratulations, you contribute to national data polls because the government stalks you on those. So data released by Facebook last year showed that Christmas Eve is the most popular day to get engaged, followed by Christmas Day, then followed by New Year's Day, and then Valentine's Day. So Valentine's Day, for being the day of love, comes in fourth amongst all the other ones. And there's certainly nothing wrong with thinking about love during this season. In fact, thinking about love is the most important thing we can think of this season, isn't it? If we're focused on one thing, and that's the actual true love story, right? This is the true love story that's been written for all of us. The true story of faithful, unending, sacrificial love. And that's God's love in sending Jesus, his son, into the world, and that changes everything. right? The example of love that's set. See, love's been God's story from the very beginning. When you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, God wanted a relationship. So he created Adam and Eve to have a relationship with, a loving relationship. Not someone just to serve him, not someone to do his bidding or to take care of the garden, because we know he could have done that. But he wanted to have a loving relationship. See, from that moment of creation, God's love was a part of the fabric of the universe, of everything that existed. His love showed by saving Noah and his family when you go back to the flood. He was ready to destroy the world because of all the evil, and he saw Noah and his family. And he saw the love that Noah had for him and reciprocated and saved him and his family. In the Old Testament, God gave the Ten Commandments, and he gave other laws that the nation of Israel should abide by. Again, not because he wanted to be a dictator or a ruler, but because he wanted to give them standards to live by, because he loved them, because he cared for them. He gave them rules so that they could proceed in the right direction, so that they could atone for their sins. He gave them the example of sacrifice for atonement of sins. And his love turned the world inside out when he sent his son to live among us, the God of the universe, to be born in a stable. When you read through Luke 2, Luke 1 and 2, and you talk about the story of Jesus and his birth. He was born in a stable, he lived to die on a cross, and then to rise again from the grave, and it took love to disrupt and overturn the power of death and evil. But the story is not about a feeling. A lot of times when we talk about love, we talk about a feeling. Society has turned love into this mindset of physicality. That a lot of times when someone says, I love you, it's more through demonstration, right? That society has kind of taken that mindset of love and they've turned it into action-based. Where the only way that people think that you can demonstrate your love is through physical acts. We've also perverted love today, where now we have teenagers walking around saying I love you to each other, and it's only because they want something from each other, right? And it's a sad reality that that's what love has become, because that's not what the example was given to us. If you look at 1 Corinthians 13, this is commonly referred to as the love chapter in the Bible, right? 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8, it tells us what love is. It says this in verse 4. It says, love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love flaunts not itself and is not puffed up. It does not behave itself improperly. It seeks not its own. It's not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. Verse 6. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things and endures all things. And most importantly, that first line of verse 8, love never fails. Love never fails. See, true love demonstrated is God's story of love in action. How the God of the universe loves you so much, loves me so much, that he left everything in order to be with us, to come and provide atonement for sin, that we could one day be reunited with him. If you go back to verses 4 to 8 and you compare God's love to those verses, you see that God's love is patient, right? Think about how many times we mess up on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. Does God instantly punish us? No, because his love is patient. God's love is kind. If God's love wasn't kind, he wouldn't have sent his son to die for us. We wouldn't have that gift, and we wouldn't celebrate this season of Christmas. It's not self-seeking or easily angered. God is a very patient individual. If you look at the Old Testament, it seems that he loses his patience with the nation of Israel sometimes, but he also extended them a lot of grace, and he allowed them a lot of opportunities. His love is not easily angered. His love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. His love always protects us. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. And most importantly, God's love never fails. That's a promise that we're given. We talked about last week, we talked about the hope, right? The hope of past, present, and future. The hope that the nation of Israel had in the past. The hope that we have in the present and the hope of our future. And the hope that we have of a future is a future spent with Christ for all of eternity, right? That's because of God's love and because of the unfailing love. If you haven't noticed by now, the second gift we're talking about this week is love. We're talking about God's love. So what do we do with God's love? We have to do three things with God's love. First of all, we have to accept it. And it seems basic, but the first thing you have to do is you have to accept God's love. I'm going to guess that if I say the reference John 3:16, most of us can quote in this room John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Most of us can quote that, and the translation may be a little bit different, but we know it. But do you actually accept what that verse is? Sometimes there's a problem when you become so familiar with something that you can overlook something, right? You get so used to a routine, you get so used to hearing something or seeing something that you just kind of glance over it. And we all go, oh yeah, John 3:16, I know. God so loved the world, they gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Got it. Cool beans. Drive on. But there's some important truth in there that sometimes we miss. God's love in sending Jesus is the one love that changes everything. See, this was and is the ultimate gift, an act of sacrificial, holy, complete, and infinite love. It is the greatest example of love that we will ever have. And the message that is in that simple verse is the core of what we believe as Christians. So it makes sense that as we unwrap the gift of love, that we should start here in three parts. First of all, God loved the world. Second of all, he loved the world so much that he sent his only son. For what reason? To die for us. That he would die, he would rise again, he would conquer death, defeat death, and by doing so, he would provide the gift of life for all of us. So the first thing that we have to do is we have to accept that gift. And when we accept that gift and we believe in him, we're given his life, which is salvation or eternal life. And that's the hope that we have that we talked about last week. So the first thing we do with the gift of God's love is it's very basic, but it's very easy to overlook. If you never accept the gift of love, if you never accept the gift that Christ has given you of eternal life, then you don't have a hope of a future with him. If we miss that very basic step, we've missed all of eternity, essentially. We must accept the gift. We said it's basic, it's not easy. For some of us here today, the step of actually accepting the gift of God's love and believing in Jesus may be very difficult. It may be something you've struggled with for a long time. It may be a brand new idea. Or even to some of your friends or your family, your relatives, your loved ones. The gift of Christ's love may be a new concept to them. Maybe something you've struggled with. Or it may be a gift that you've neglected. Maybe you feel unlovable. Maybe you've been burned by human love too many times to trust that there's something greater. Oftentimes in life, you put your trust in someone, and when that backfires, you become more and more cautious, right? The more times that you get burned by friends or people who claim to be your friends or claim to love you, the more we start to retreat and we start to not trust people. Or maybe, like a lot of people, you have this thought. Someone can come up to you or can come up to a friend and say, you know, God loves you so much. And your response in your head is, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know my life. You don't know the secrets that I have, the doubts and fears and the pain. You don't know the mistakes that I've made. Do you know somebody like that today? Is there someone in your life that when you talk to them, their response is essentially, but you don't know my secrets? God doesn't care. It doesn't matter. Maybe I don't know your secrets, but God does. And despite that, he loves you anyway. Remember when Christ died on the cross, it said that in that moment that Christ took the sins of the world upon him. The sins past, the sins present at that time, and the sins future. Anything that we do from today on, anything that we've done in our past, anything that future generations will do, it's already been forgiven. There's nothing that you can do in your life, there's nothing that anyone can do in our lives that Christ won't forgive us from. The only thing that won't be forgiven is if we don't ever accept the gift of salvation. At that point, when we stand before eternity having not accepted the gift, our fate is clear, that Christ tells us we will spend eternity separated from him. No matter what challenges or hurts you hold, God's love can handle them, and he can heal them. He can handle all of it. It's who he is. He's God. Wherever you are on your journey, it's okay. God knows and he understands. And his response is the open arms of perfect love. So if we've accepted love, if we're beyond that first step, if you've already become a believer, then what's next? Well, next is experiencing his love. So the first thing you have to do is accept it, right? So we accept it. We accept that Christ died for us. We accept the story of Christmas, that there was a baby that was born for the purpose of living to die for our sins. Once you've done that, now you have to experience Christ's love. And it's easy to be distracted by all the things that need to get done in the next few weeks. It's easy to be distracted by the tinsel and the lights and the presents and the shopping. And it's very easy to start to lose your patience with all the lines and the chaos and the traffic. If you have to commute to work, this is the worst time of the year to commute. Traffic just gets worse and worse. I fortunately have a very short drive between this church building and where my apartment is, so I only have to deal with a little bit of traffic. But I got out on the road the other day, and I had to go maybe 2 miles on 22. And it took me like 15 minutes just to move two traffic lights because people were going shopping, people were going out. My wife was out yesterday, and she was going to go to the Christmas tree store down on 22 towards Union in Springfield. And she texted me, and she's like, I'm stopping at the Christmas tree store. I was like, okay, cool. She didn't text while she was driving. She wants to make sure everyone knows. She doesn't break the law. But she tells me that she's going to stop at the Christmas tree store. I didn't pay attention to it. I was like, she's going to stop. She's going to shop, whatever. She gets home, and she's like, I didn't stop. I was like, why didn't you stop? She goes, I pulled into the parking lot, and I saw how crazy it was just in the parking lot. And I said, I'm not going inside because I know the store is going to be worse. And I said, well, it's a Saturday in December at a Christmas tree shop where everyone's trying to get Christmas decorations for their house and prepare for the holiday season. And Saturday is their day off, and it's pure chaos. I don't blame you for not wanting to stop. But amongst all of that, it's easy to stress, right? It's easy to worry about, is Christmas going to be good? Is everything going to come to place in the right time? Are the kids going to enjoy the holiday? Is it going to be something they remember? Is it going to be something they celebrate? And they can start to overwhelm us, and they start to stress us. And then the lines, and we start to get cranky. And what's supposed to be a great season of joy and celebration starts to turn into a season of stress and anxiety and the wish for New Year's. And then we're not even going to talk about the credit card bills that hit us once New Year's comes. All of these things matter. However, God doesn't ask you to ignore them in order to experience his love. But he does ask you to bring them to him. Sometimes with holidays, there's tension with family, right? Who do you go see? Who do you hang out with? Our relationships with friends, stressed. Our relationships with family members, stressed. These things weigh us down. God doesn't want you to ignore them. He wants you to simply bring them to you, to surrender the deepest hurts and concerns of your life to him, and to allow him to renew you with his love. The good news is that he gives, through his son, Jesus Christ, love that is enough for all of us. Things happen in our everyday lives. Things change, right? But if we're focused on Christ, if we're focused on his love, it will be enough to get us through. In Romans 8:38-39, which will be on the screen, it says this. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's the power of God's love. If you go back and you look at that, death or life, angels or demons, present or future or past, powers, depth nor height, anything else in all creation, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Isn't that awesome? There's nothing that can happen that can separate us from the love that Christ has for us. The only thing that can get in the way is us. God's love is a love that can't be contained and it can't be constrained by any power in the universe. It's love that we all want to experience, and that when we do experience, makes life that much better. This season, as you go through all the chaos, embrace His love. As you deal with different situations, with family, with friends, whatever it may be, embrace God's love and fully experience His love. When we're open to it, He'll fill us with His love. But we have to be open to experiencing it. So if we've accepted His love, if we've accepted the gift of salvation, and we are currently at this time experiencing a life that is filled with God's love, if you're at that point in life where you've been saved for a while and you're sitting here going, okay, this is nothing new. I've been a Christian for a while and I experience God's love on a daily basis, weekly, yearly, whatever it may be. There's one final part to the gift of love, right? The last part, as with any gift, is to do what? Share it. To share His love. Especially around this time of year, the most important thing that you can do is share the love of God. Once we've accepted it and we experience it, we have an obligation to share it with those around us. Here's a fun question. Have you ever been in love? I know that there's some families here and there's some kids here, so I'm hoping some of you answer yes. If not, you should probably have some marriage counseling. But if you've ever been in love, I'm not addressing that. There was some pointing going on. If you've ever been in love, there's a good chance that you've done something loud or crazy to proclaim that love, right? That at some point, usually it's the guy that does it, they do something a little ridiculous that would either embarrass their significant other or shout to the world that he loves this person he's with. And my wife can attest to that firsthand. My wife is not someone who likes attention. My wife does not like being put on the spot. So when I went to propose to my wife, I did it on a baseball field in front of thousands of people with a Jumbotron. And then my proposal ended up on the radio the following morning because one of my cousins texted us and said, "Hey, was listening to the radio on the way to work and heard about your proposal last night." So my wife, who doesn't like being put on the spot, I put her on the spot in front of thousands of people to tell the world and all the people that were there and all the people that heard on the radio that I love this woman. Love makes you do crazy things. Or the way I was brought up makes me do crazy things. It's a different story. But it's what humans do, right? When we express our love, we express it in these outlandish ways sometimes because we want people to know, I love you. Christ was no different. Christ expressed His love in the most outlandish way of all. Christ was born as a baby, lived a life showing people He loved them, demonstrating through miracles the power of Christ, the power of God, and His love for people. And then He went to the cross, hung on the cross, and died for our sins to demonstrate His love. In front of all the world, to be recorded in the Bible, to be told for thousands of years, His love was demonstrated in the most outlandish way of all, that He died for us. See, when we're in love, it shows. We can't help it. Love overflows. And that's what Christ did. The gift of God's love is, it's the same thing. It's for sharing. So here's the thing about a gift, right? When you give a gift, what happens? You go through the time and effort. You select a gift for somebody for Christmas. You wrap it up. You go through all of this, put the bow on it. You give it to them. And what do you have left? If you give something away, do you have anything? Right, because you gave it away, right? So you're left holding nothing. Now, you may have the joy of seeing them being happy, but if you give a gift, you've given it away. That's the definition of a gift, right? It's something given with no expectation of anything in return. It's not a sale. It's not a transaction. It's not an exchange, although you may do gift exchanges. But if you're giving a gift to someone, you give it away, and you have nothing in return. There's something interesting, though, about God's love. If you package God's love up as a gift and you share it with somebody else, what you're left with is still God's love. And you may have the joy of seeing someone else be able to experience God's love. And that's a gift back to you. See, God's love is the only gift that when it's given, that you still hold on to something, that you still have something to experience. When we share the gift of love, it doesn't leave us with less, it leaves us with more. John addressed this in 1 John 4, 9-11. He said this, it says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." God's love comes to us and it flows through us. And the more we embrace it and the more we experience it, the more we want to share it with others. Or the more we should want to share it with others. Right? So what does love look like for you this season? It could mean spending time with family. A lot of us travel, don't we, for the holidays? Because we have family either in different parts of the state or in different states. Some of you have family that are outside of the country. So maybe it's spending time with family. Maybe it means reconnecting with old friends that you've drifted away from or drifted from. It might mean serving neighbors or strangers or seeking out someone who's suspect or, who you suspect is lonely or hurting. When you know someone just isn't in the right place. It might mean forgiving someone who has hurt you or apologizing to someone that you have hurt. It could take on various forms of love. There are endless ways to allow God's love to flow through you as you love others the way that he loved us. Think of a way that you can share God's love this week. And then as you go throughout your week, look for those opportunities to share God's love. They'll present themselves if we're looking. If we're focused on what this season is really about, we'll see ways to share God's love. But we have to be careful not to get lost in the noise. See, the sappy Christmas carols are fun. They're fun to sing. They're fun to bop along to. And when we have our Christmas party here, we're going to sing Christmas carols. And we'll do things like the 12 days of Christmas, which ends up being chaos. But it's fun. It's something that we can experience together and we can do together. But let's remember the real reason that we celebrate. It's because of God's love. And because of God's love, we have the hope of a future with him. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can unwrap the gift of love. We thank you that you cared enough about us that you didn't want to let us go. Lord, that you found a way to provide the gift of life to us if we would only be willing to accept it. Father, I pray that we would accept your love this season. Lord, that if we know people who aren't believers, if we have family or friends, coworkers that don't know you, Lord, I pray that we would show them your love, that we would give them that gift so that they too can experience what true love is. Lord, I pray that as we continue through these weeks coming closer to Christmas, Lord, that you would help keep us calm, that you would help us stay focused on what the season is about. Lord, that we would be able to enjoy it with our friends and our family. We'd be able to enjoy the lights and the tree and the presents. But Lord, that we would remember what it's all about. And we'd remember that it's all about you, the gift that you gave us those years ago in the manger, that you would send your son into the world to live a life, that he would die for us to provide us the gift of salvation. So Father, I pray that you would be with us the remainder of the time that we have. Lord, as we get ready for Sunday school, Lord, that as we dive into your word with one another, Lord, that we would grow together as brothers and sisters, as a family, and as a body of believers. So Lord, I just pray these things in your son's name. Amen.